Samaveta Bhaktavindagi Jai, Go Prevenandi, all glorious to some of the devotees, all glorious to some of the devotees, all glorious to some of the devotees, all glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, all glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya,
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 Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasanna Guru Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamani Namaste Sarasvata Deva Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paschacchade Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sri Gaur Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10, chapter 65, verse 28. Rama Rama Mahabaho.
Rama Rama Mahabaho.
Najane Tava Vikramam.
Najane Tava Vikramam.
Visaikam Sena Vidrata.
Visaikam Sena Vidrata.
Jagati Jagatapate.
Jagati Jagatapate. Rama Rama Mahabaho. Sena, by a portion, Vidrata is sustained. Jagati, the earth, Jagata of the universe. Okay, O Master. Translation, Goddess Jamuna said, Rama, Rama, O mighty armed one, I know nothing of your prowess. With a single portion of yourself, you hold up the earth. O Lord of the universe. Purport, the phrase Ekam Sena with a single portion refers to the Lord's expansion as Shesha. This is confirmed by the Acharyas. My Lord, please release me. O soul of the universe, I didn't understand your position as the Supreme Godhead, but now I have surrendered unto you, and you are always kind to your devotees. Sukadeva Goswami continued, thereupon Lord Balaram released the Jamuna and, like the king of the elephants with his entourage of she elephants, entered the river's water with his female companions. The Lord played in the water to his full satisfaction. And when he came out, the goddess Akanti presented him with blue garments, precious ornaments, and a brilliant necklace. Purport: Srila Sridhar Swami quotes from the Vishnu Purana to show that the goddess Kanti mentioned here is actually Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. Varuna Prahita Chasmai Malam Amlana Pankajam Samudrabde Tata Vastre Nile Lakshmir Ayachita. Sent by Varuna, goddess Lakshmi then presented him with a garland of unfading lotuses and a pair of garments colored blue like the ocean. The great Bhagavatam commentator Srila Sridhar Swami also quotes the following statement from Sri Harivamsa spoken by goddess Lakshmi to Lord Balarama: Jata Rupa Mayam Chaikam Kundalam Vajra Bhushanam Adi Padmam Cha Padmakyam Divyam Ashravana Bhushanam Deve Mam Prati Gurneshwa Paura Neem Bhushana Kriyam. O Lord, please accept as divine ornaments for your ears this single gold earring studded with diamonds and this primeval lotus called Padma. Kindly accept them, for this act of adornment is traditional. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti further points out that goddess Lakshmi is the consort of the Lord's plenary expansion, Sankarshan, who belongs to the second Vyuha. Lord Balaram dressed himself in the blue garments and put on the gold necklace. Anointed with fragrances and beautifully ornamented, he appeared as resplendent as Indra's royal elephant. Anointed with sandalwood paste and other pure fragrant substances, Balaram resembled Airavata, the great elephant of Lord Indra. Even today, O King, one can see how the Jamuna flows through the many channels created when it was dragged by the unlimitedly powerful Lord Balaram. Thus, she demonstrates his prowess. Thus, for Lord Balaram, all the nights passed like a single night as he enjoyed in Vraja, his mind enchanted by the exquisite charm and beauty of Vraja's young ladies. Purport: Lord Balaram was enchanted by the charming pastimes of the beautiful young ladies of Vraja. Thus, each night was completely new experience, and all the nights passed as if they were a single night. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 65th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Balaram Visits Vrindavan. So, here we see the conclusion of this particular pastime. That is, Balaram becoming angry at the Jamuna River because it refused to come towards him, so he dragged it with his plow. And then Jamuna surrendered to him and began to praise him. So in this particular verse, we see how she calls out Balaram's name, Rama Rama Mahabaho, and apologizes that she has been ignorant of his power. At the same time, we can understand that because he is Supreme Lord, he has infinite power, and thus pulling the Jamuna is nothing for him. And thus she explains that you hold up the earth with one of your portions, Ekam Sena, which is holding up the earth as a much more astonishing feat than pulling a river. So she recognizes Balaram's extraordinary power. So of course these are expansions of Balaram. We know that Balaram expands into Mahashankarshan or Mahavishnu, who expands into Garbhadakshay Vishnu, who expands into Shiradakshay Vishnu, and as well as that we have Shesha, the bed of Vishnu, was considered an expansion of Balaram. And we also have the Shesha who holds up the Bhumandala. So this expansion holds up the Bhumandala is actually not considered to be Supreme Lord himself, but a Shaktivesh avatar of the Lord. So it's a Jiva with special powers who holds up the earth. So not directly the Supreme Lord or Balaram, but we could say expansion of expansion. So a very similar form, a snake form like Shesha, but this role is performed by a special Jiva with powers. In any case, we can say it's an expansion of Balaram ultimately. So Eka Amsa, one portion, or a portion of a portion of a portion of a portion, you can say, because Balaram expands into the Chaturvyuha, which expands again into another Chaturvyuha, which expands into Mahavishnu, Garbhadaksha, Vishukshiradakshai, Vishnu, etc. And then we have expansion of Shesha, who holds up the earth as a Shaktivesh avatar. So not directly the Supreme Lord, but a portion of him, a portion of a portion of a portion of a portion of a portion. To illustrate the fact that to hold up the earth is a remarkable feat. It takes a lot of strength to hold up the whole Bhumandala. But that's only one little small portion of Balaram. So he's much more powerful than that. In fact, it is said through his Shakti, he supports the whole spiritual world, which is much bigger than the whole universe, the material universe. Material universe is like a small, insignificant cloud compared to the spiritual world. And the whole spiritual world is supported by Balaram's energy. So, in other words, Balaram is very, very powerful. And therefore, to pull the river is no problem for Balaram if he wants to use his plow to do that. So, in other words, Balaram has infinite power or strength or vikrama. He can do remarkable feats. Therefore, she calls him mighty armed, Mahabaho. She calls out to him with this name. Mighty armed, indicating his great strength. She also calls out to him Rama. Of course, we know he's Balaram. For short, Rama. Of course, we also use the name Rama for Krishna when we say Hare Krishna and Hare Rama. So there, usually we take that Rama as Krishna, as in Radharamana, one who gives enjoyment to Radha or to the gopis or to the devotees. He's called Ramana or Rama. And of course, secondarily, we can also give that name not only to Balaram, but to Ramchandra as well. Because they're all giving enjoyment to someone. Rama, he is addressed here as Rama. Also, which is, we can say, appropriate to the occasion because he was enjoying with the gopis of Raja and giving them great ecstasy by his pastimes. And this particular pastime, as is explained later on, is that he bathed in the Jamuna River with all the gopis. And this way they had great satisfaction. So, therefore, Balaram gave joy to the gopis. He did so in this particular case by pulling the Jamuna and bringing it close and then bathing in the river. So he had a particular purpose in chastising Jamuna. And that is, he wanted to give pleasure to all the gopis. So therefore, his name is very appropriate, Rama, one who gives enjoyment. Nature of the Supreme Lord, any form of the Supreme Lord, is that he is full of bliss and enjoyment. But not only he is full of bliss, But he
gives bliss and enjoyment to the devotees. And this is how he also gets his bliss, by giving bliss to the devotees. So he's the giver of bliss. He's also blissful himself. So one word used to express that is the Atmarama word, which means self-enjoying. So by his nature, he is full of bliss, and he enjoys his Atmarama. So the word can be applied to the Supreme Lord, because he is the ultimate independent enjoyer, and he doesn't need anyone else to enjoy. He enjoys within himself. But it is also often used for jivas, who enjoy within themselves. That is, and usually this refers to the impersonalists, who are fixed in being very peaceful in Brahman. And that way they are very peaceful and enjoying in themselves, not enjoying objects of this material world. So that is how the term is applied to jivas, that they don't enjoy the material world, but they get pleasure from realization that they are Atma, and their enjoyment is simply that, and they're fully satisfied with that. The devotees, however, are a little bit different. They're not so satisfied with simply understanding they are Atma. They get satisfaction from pleasing the Supreme Lord. So in that sense, they're not called Atmaramas. So the Atmarama is considered to be a lesser type of person, because he just gets enjoyment as Atma without serving the Lord. Whereas the devotee serves the Lord, and that's how he gets his enjoyment. So the Lord is Atmarama, but at the same time, this is also, we can say, a secondary quality, because he gets pleasure not from himself, but from his devotees. That's how he gets greater pleasure, by giving joy to his devotees. So therefore, even though the Lord may be called Atmaram, he often contradicts that. So the primary example of that is, though the Lord is considered to be Atmaram, he has a Rasa-lila. How can it be Atmaram? He's not like the Atmaram, who's the impersonalist, who stops the senses. He seems to be enjoying. Not so much enjoying as giving joy to the devotees, and that way getting bliss. Therefore, the Lord is the giver of bliss to the devotees, and therefore he's called Rama. So as Krishna is the giver of bliss to the devotees, so Balaram also is same. And because he's a very superior form of the Lord, like Krishna, who is Swayam Bhagavan, then he has similar types, ways in which he gives joy to his devotees. So here we find pastimes which are similar to those of Krishna. So we find Krishna has Rasa-lila, and then Krishna bathes in the Jamuna with the gopis. So very similar. We see Balaram doing the same thing in Vrindavan. So therefore, very, very elevated form of the Supreme Lord by displaying such pastimes with the gopis. So Balaram in this way chastised Jamuna. Jamuna praised the Lord, and then Balaram began to enjoy with the gopis in the water. Then the last incident mentioned here is goddess Kanti, who was a form of Lakshmi, presented Balaram with blue garments and one earring, which is a typical ornament for Balaram. He's often described as having one earring, and he has blue garments. In this way, Balaram became very pleased, and also he decorated himself in this very typical way by which we can identify him as Balaram. So this concludes the pastime of Balaram going to Vrindavan to pacify the people, and particularly the gopis. So as I mentioned, it is a partial pacification, because though Balaram is very elevated and next to Krishna, still Krishna has his own unique way of satisfying everyone. So he is the supreme person who can satisfy all the people of Vrindavan. So definitely the people got satisfaction from Balaram, but still they wanted Krishna. And that is why later Krishna went to Vrindavan and satisfied everyone. So this is a one attempt, a temporary measure to give some satisfaction to the people of Vrindavan. We can say, by the desire of Krishna and at the desire of Balaram himself. So this pastime displays the fact that Balaram has pastimes which are very similar to those of Krishna. As we see here, all the elements of the Rasa Lila are very, very similar. So therefore, we have to respect Balaram as having a very, very high position. Well, that's an interpretation. Of course, it can be done in one place. Prabhupada said Rama can mean even Parsaram, as well as Ramchandra or Balaram or Krishna. It can, generally, that's what people think. There's three Ramas. They don't think it's Krishna, but maybe Balaram, maybe Ramchandra, or maybe Parsaram, which is true. They're also designated as Rama. So Rama is a general term. It's also Vishnu's name. Vishnu Sahasranam has Rama as one of the names also. So it's appropriate for all of them, because the meaning of Rama, of course, can have different meanings. It can mean one who gives enjoyment and one who also enjoys with the devotees or the gopis or whatever like that. But it's appropriate for all forms of God, because he does give enjoyment to the devotees. He also gets enjoyment from them. So it's appropriate to all. At the same time, since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has pointed out how Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan and the principal form of worship, and in general he encouraged everyone to worship Krishna, and particularly Radha Krishna, therefore we give the meaning of Krishna to all those words. And for Hare, that can also mean Hari, because Hari, when we call out to Hari, it becomes Hare also. It could be Vishnu as well, any form of the Lord, just as Rama could be any form of the Lord. But because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also encouraged us to worship Radha Krishna, therefore we take this as Hare, as Radha. So you could take it as Vishnu as well, or any form of the Lord, of masculine form as well, Hari. So similarly, Rama can be taken as any form of the Lord, but we take this also as Krishna, the one who gives enjoyment to Radha, because we are involved with Madhurya Rasa. Yeah, obviously. Of course, you could say Hara could also mean Sita, female form, counterpart. Not necessarily, but definitely. Or if for Balaram, then it would have to be Ravati, I suppose.
Just like Krishna enjoys with his Lakini Shakti, does Balaram have a separate Lakini Shakti?
Well, when he gets married, he has Ravati. I think he had two wives. Varuni is considered his wife also.
In
Dwarka. Yeah. And also, therefore, we have Nityananda having two wives also. As per Bhagavatam, only Krishna and Balaram did Rasa-lila. Any other lord did Rasa-lila? No. It's a very, very unique quality of Krishna in Vrindavan, actually. But then we see Balaram also had. So Balaram and Krishna both participate in this. What actually used for a plow? Actually used for agricultural purpose. Why did Balaram use Vidupanas Jamuna? Well, there are particular symbols or weapons, we can say, for different forms of the Lord. For instance, Vishnu has the chakra and the club and the lotus and the conch, typical things he holds in his hands. And even Durga Devi has her particular weapons, like the bow and the arrow and the spear and the trident, etc. Shiva has his trident. And Krishna, of course, also has chakra, etc. So one of the typical ayuda or weapons of Balaram is the plow and the mushala, which is actually not a club, it's a grinding mortar. The thing he used to grind the spices with, it's a big one. It can also be used as a club, I suppose. And the plow, which is generally an agricultural thing, but it could be used as a weapon as well for some reason. Balaram is often the symbol of agriculture because he has the plow in his hand, etc. And he's often worshipped like that as the, you know, one who is plowing the fields or is in charge of plowing the fields, etc. So that's one of his particular qualities. Well, they're actually together in the same loka. We find that Krishna and Balaram are like the sons of Yasoda and Nanda, and they grow up together and they have pastimes together in Vrindavan. So in Goloka, in the spiritual world, also similar. Of course, sometimes technically Jiva Goswami says that actually Goloka is the Aishvarya aspect, and Gokul is the non-Aishvarya aspect, that is the place where nobody sees Krishna as Supreme Lord, so he calls that Gokul. But sometimes there's no distinction made, and the whole thing is called Goloka, as in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita just talks about Goloka, so that's this Krishna's place, and Balaram is also there, and there's no reverence there. But there's sometimes distinction made between Aishvarya Goloka and Gokul. And there, Krishna and Balaram are both there. There's no separate place there for each of them. Balaram to?
Airavat.
Oh, elephant. Okay. So elephants, of course, are often compared to not only Balaram, but to Krishna also sometimes, particularly in the water, because we see that the elephants play in the water with their consorts. So similarly, and you know, they're in the river there, they spray water around with their trunks, etc., like that. So for that reason, we have Balaram with the gopis playing in the water. So the comparison is, it's like the elephants playing in the water, king of the elephants playing in the water. So Balaram plays with the gopis in the water in a similar way. So the elephant, of course, also expresses strength and things like that. And also some majesty or royal nature, kingly nature, etc.
Can we take it to understanding that Balaram uses the plow to cultivate the devotee's heart?
Well, we can also say that plow the, we say the field of where the bhakti lata is planted in the heart. I've never seen that comparison given, though. Generally taken, as it simply represents the agricultural aspect of Vrindavan.
He said to be the Adi Guru.
Yeah, also he is.
Rudra Sishma.